call down the thunder, well, now you got it.
In the turn three, Paris knocks on the door, looks to the inside. Chris Green hammers car 65 off turn four to take the checkered flag. Mitchell Paris second. Josh Harris, Showtime, Nathan Pierce, and Cookie Evans round out your top five.
Satterfield slips as well. Chapel gets loose off the corner. Satterfield goes by. Brandon Satterfield, your main event winner.
Higgins with the lead, heading, noses to the inside. He gets to the bumper. Higgins a little sideways. Here comes the catering. Kenneth Head, they'll go side by side into turn three. Luke Sorrow looking for room. Heading off turn four. Higgins gets sideways. They touch coming to the line. Oh my goodness.
He's looking now for the checkered flag, and it is in the air. Dustin Lightning Rod, your winner in Predator 350 over Bradley Gillespie, and the four of Ricky Bridgman will round out your top three here in Predator 350. And that will be a wrap on this main event here at Foothills Raceway.
No threat out back yet. Here comes Gray, slips it up high. Robinson will try for it. Into the side he goes. Lee Gray will win. Robinson slides up the track. Everybody scatters as Billy Rushton takes second, Dale Timms third, Jeff Crowder fourth, and the 18 of Justin Sims rounds out the top five.
Hello and welcome into another episode of Dropping the Hammer here on your podcast feeds. Alan and Joey Ellis with you once again, recapping the weekend that was at Kansas Speedway. Boy, put it simply, the more things change, the more they stay the same, in quite a literal lot of sense of ways. But Joey, last week we talked about at Darlington how a non-playoff driver has never won the playoff opener. Well, Joey, guess what else has never happened until this week? A non-playoff driver winning the first two races of the playoffs.
Yeah, so that means everyone, with the exception of Christopher Bell, is still on the table for the playoff spots. So we have 15 drivers going for 11 spots at Bristol.
Yeah, and that's going to be chaos this Saturday night, just throwing that on the table to start us off. But basic sense, always got to break down the races like we always do. Kansas, was not lacking for action in two of the three series. But let's start it off back where it starts for the weekend. Night race, as the trucks typically do Friday night. Final race of their round of 10, their first round of the playoffs. And we talked last week how it was pretty comfortable for most of them. There were three drivers vying for one spot, essentially, is what it boiled down to. Race, I thought, was fantastic. Start to finish, I thought, at everything you could have wanted, including, at the end, a driver below the line going for broke. Had a completely off-kilter strategy, and Carson Hocevar, on fuel strategy, trying really, really hard to steal a victory and move on to the round of eight.
Yeah. Hocevar tried the strategy. He said, and his crew said it was the only play they had. So they went with it, and it was working. And really, right at the white flag, Jonathan Nemechek gets by him. Hocevar starts sputtering, and I think he ends up finishing third. But it's not enough.
You know, it really harkens back to the Paul Wolf, Brad Keselowski days early in their Cup Series career, when they would just absolutely go off-kilter strategy in the middle of the race and just see what the result was. Sometimes it ended in victory, sometimes it ended in 25th place finishes. But if they walked out there with a 15th place car, their goal was just to finish above that line by any means possible. And obviously the situation plays into the fact or why Carson Hocevar had to do that. Did not have the playoff ladder, but managed at the time to do what he was trying to do, but just unable to get the victory, comes up just short. And that changes the playoff ladder, as we've been saying, obviously resets for the round of eight. Josevar and Ekis no longer part of the playoffs. Joey, grid's still pretty deep.
It's still pretty deep. Obviously, John Hunter Nemechek moving on with the win. He was good on points, no matter what. But with the reset, you have Zane Smith, Chandler Smith, John Hunter Nemechek, Ben Rhodes, Snort Friesen, Ty Majewski, Grant Enfinger, and Christian Ekis moving on to round of eight.
Yeah, very, very good outing by all of them, and it's a pretty tight window now. But Bristol, Talladega, back-to-back, it's going to be chaos anyway.
Yeah. Going into the round of eight, the eight drivers are separated by just 34 points.
Yeah, very, very small window to work their way through.
And
but
I'll say for the truck series, like, you know, you've only had six different truck series regular winners this year, but their standards, that's a lot, especially when you have people like Kyle Busch, William Byron, up-and-coming star Corey Heim, who's full-time in the ARCA series, and people like Ryan Preece winning races, Todd Gilliland. Oh, these people they're used to the truck series. They win races a lot, but it's been really, there hasn't been really any clear-cut favorite of the season. I mean, I know Zane Smith won three times during the regular season, but there's a lot of times that it's just, you know, one week it'd be Zane dominating a race, then it'd be Chandler. You have Ty Majewski, who hasn't won this season, but, you know, he's shown that he can win races if he just catches a break.
He's come very close. And has come close recently. He was dominating the race at IRP. But you mentioned that with Josevar and Crafton eliminated in the first round, you've got those eight drivers you mentioned. John Hunter Nemechek finally getting back into victory lane. And right ahead of a weird situation that the driver of the four is about to be placed into. Just not the best situation for him to be in, but he's back in victory lane, got his second win to go along with his sixth pole. And he heads into Bristol, where he's been consistently good over the years as a truck driver. So we'll see how that plays. Now, Joey, for the in-action part of the weekend, the Xfinity race.
And we pretty much knew it from the start. The weather for Saturday was not favorable. So it got through two stages. Noah Gregson was the leader. They sent out that he had won. They took it away. Said the race wasn't official yet. And then they made it official about 10 minutes after that. So at the end of the day, Noah Gregson gets his fifth win of the season.
Yeah, that is a series tied for the series lead with Ty Gibbs.
Yeah, and
both of them are more than likely going to be full time Cup drivers next year.
And of course, moving on to since we're talking about the Xfinity series, we got to move on to a little bit of news that came out during this week. The ruling at Daytona was reversed, so Jeremy Clements is in. So that makes eight drivers locked in and wins. Sam Mayer and Riley Herbst, 9th and 10th, respectively, they're clinched on points. So heading into Bristol, you have four drivers going for two spots. You have Daniel Hemric, who's 37 above the cut line. Denixel's 19 above. Then on the outside looking in, Ryan C, minus 19. Sheldon Creed, minus 32. Everyone else has to win. But for those four, they can point their way in. Sheldon Creed, obviously, you know, he'd have to have a lot of things go wrong for the top three ahead of him. So it's more or less a must win, but not technically. But for those four, they can point their way in. Everyone else that's above the top 30 in points need to win.
Yeah, and we'll see what they can pull off and how that can go, but it won't be easy. But and then it comes down for Hemric and Castle, it's the same thing as the problem that Blaney and Truex found themselves in. Someone is getting in on points. We know that. One of these drivers will get in on points. Between Hemric, Castle, Sieg, and Creed. One of them will, at the very least. But obviously, somebody below the line can win, and that would shove everything down. So Hemric and Castle are in the best possible position right now, but they have to outdo each other on Friday. The trickery comes in.
Yeah.
But moving on, one of the more exciting races of the weekend, the Cup Series race at Kansas, Tyler Reddick earning his first career pole on an oval. He had one at the Indy Road Course, so his second career pole, first on an oval. Goes into this race, and Joey, much like last week, it felt like every playoff driver ran into some kind of trouble throughout this race.
Absolutely. There was a point during the race where Jeff Burton listed like issues playoff drivers had, whether it be on track, on pit road, whatever. Like Denny Hamlin had a couple problems on pit road. They had 34th in race pit penalty of the year.
That somehow doesn't feel high enough for how often we've said that.
Yeah. It's always happened to Denny, because like I feel like his crew is like a couple seconds behind, so he tries to make up for it, ends up stepping over the edge just a little bit. That's always been his thing, but at the end of the race, you know, I'm not ashamed to say that I predicted this. You know, I didn't see it coming this way. I said that the same number was going to win at Kansas, and it came true. Bubba Wallace was the best car in that last run. And when he got... he learned from his mistakes in Michigan. You remember Michigan, the last restart. He didn't get by Logano fast enough. That cost him time. He couldn't catch Harvick during that race. This year, or this race, kind of the same thing. You had a final restart at this. I don't think there was any caution in stage three, of my accounts. Mm-hmm. So the restart of stage three, he struggled a little bit getting by Logano. After that, he set sail. He learned from his mistakes in Michigan. He got by these guys, and speed difference he had on Alex Bowman when he made the pass for the lead was just something special. Like Alex Bowman was going as hard as he could, but his car was too loose, and Bubba just blew his doors off.
Yeah, and it was one of those deals where it really did feel like you don't see it nearly as often as we used to. Short run versus long run car, it feels like. But the 48 was a short to mid run car. It led a bunch of laps. Bowman had a great race. William Byron had a great race. Like Hendrick Motorsports as a whole, they did fantastic. I was really impressed, especially the two lesser guys, air quotes, at Hendrick. They did great.
Yeah.
But the 48 at a certain point started tailing off. The 45 picked it up, got past him, and then through pit cycles, I actually gained time in the pits. And then, you know, there's that bit of time where the 45 is not quite where it wanted to be yet, and the 48 is already there before it starts falling off. They get close, spread back out, and the race was the 45 holding off the 11. Another 5-10 laps, Denny Hamlin probably wins this race with ease. But that's why strategy is the way it is. These crew chiefs are going to call the race and make it work. If they figure on an easy strategy, they can get within 3 seconds of the lead, but they're going to finish second. Or if we tune it in a certain way, we can get and call some pit strategies. We can get 16 seconds ahead of this and hold it off until the final second. And Team 45, they did fantastic in this race. They blew it away. It was really, really good to see it. Booty Barker on the radio after the race going, yeah, how are they going to take this one from us? There's no rain. It's not a super speedway. Nothing. This is a race they went out and earned. They went out and earned this. And that's a huge deal. Bubba Wallace becomes the winningest African-American driver in NASCAR Cup Series history. Granted, with only 2 wins, but that is a huge mark. That is something to note, and that's something to look at going forward. As for the good in the race, obviously comes the bad in the race. Mentioned the Cup driver's problems. The 11 had his pit penalties that ended up costing him the race in the long run. Yeah. There was that.
The eight had several
flat tires. The 4 had a flat tire, slammed the wall, and Harvick is 35 points below the line, but we're heading to Bristol. There is no track he would rather be at if he had to win other than Phoenix.
Yeah. And Kevin Harvick's been in this position before. You go back, I think it was during his championship run, either that or the year after, when he had to win at Dover to move on. But
it was a year after. It was 15.
Yeah, he's been in this situation before, and he and Allen were present at the race last year that Kevin feels like was taken away from him because of Chase Elliott blocking him, and I can't say I disagree with that. So, me?
But what kind of redemption story would you get in 3 years in the fall race in Bristol, getting your 9th win of the year right ahead of not winning that title in 20, to going a full year winless up until the point, thinking you got the race robbed from you in 21, going almost another full year winless, getting those wins at Michigan and Richmond, but now finding yourself in a position where you have to win. You have to go in there. I mean, you don't actually have to win, but 35 points below the line is a ton to make up in a single race, especially on 4 people. He knows going into this race, he more than likely has to win it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if he did.
Yeah, it'll be fun to watch. And we mentioned it.
And another thing you have to think about here is that it's the first time we're actually on the concrete Bristol with a new car. Like, we raced at Bristol earlier this year, but that was on dirt.
Yep. And there's not a track like Bristol that you can just test and figure it out.
Yeah, Dale Jarrett said it best. He said, you can't just ride around at Bristol and hope for a good day. You had to go out there and attack the racetrack. You have to manage lap traffic at this racetrack. You had to manage lap traffic. You had to manage cars behind you. And we've seen in the past before where a bobble from a lap car can end up taking out 3 or 4 cars, maybe even 10.
And it can be bobbles from the guys in the back taking out the guys in the front.
Yeah.
That's happened more than a few times.
I think it happened to Dale Jr. not that long ago.
Yeah, it did. And we've seen the leaders taking each other out. We've seen everything at this racetrack,
and I'm ready for it because there's no place I could have imagined be better for a situation like this than Bristol.
Yeah,
I can't, and yeah. I'm expecting to see the bump and run return.
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. I also wouldn't be shocked to see if the 4 put the 5 and the 9 in the wall as payback from last year. That's just get it out of the way early.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. But going into the news and notes of the weekend, the races last weekend, very good. The news that happened after the races this weekend,
also good.
My goodness.
Yeah, there's been no shortage of news in the motorsport industries we come to know and love over the last couple weeks, from Alex Palou's situation to Oscar Piastri and F1. And now to biggest news we've seen in NASCAR in 15 years, in my opinion, as far as free agency goes.
Yeah. Yep. In a huge move, Kyle Busch has announced what has been the worst-kept secret in the garage for the past couple weeks, that he will be joining Richard Childress Racing for 2023 and beyond. Multi-year contract, we don't know how many years, but obviously by the wording, at least two. Probably more than that. Ends a 15-year partnership with Joe Gibbs Racing and Toyota in the process, so KBM will also be switching to Chevrolets. And in essence, also on top of that, all of KBM's drivers are TRD drivers, so all of them have to go find somewhere else to race, and Kyle has to get new drivers for KBM now.
Yeah, it's like it's a whole fresh start. It's a whole fresh start in two ways, for the sense of obviously Kyle Busch going to a new team, trying to get a new fresh start with manufacturer he began his career with, nonetheless.
Yep.
And he mentioned it in his presser. He said that in 2007, when he announced he was moving to JGR, he didn't have a family. He didn't have a truck team to worry about. So this one was a little bit more stressful on him.
Yeah, he had a lot more to worry about. But Kyle Busch moving to RCR. We kind of figured that. We kind of knew where that was going. What we didn't know, however, was that he will be in the 8 car immediately.
Yeah.
And that Tyler Reddick was informed day of this presser that he would not drive the 8 or be partnered with his crew chief for 2023.
And Richard said, he said that gonna get a third charter car for Tyler Reddick. They don't know what number. So they're just gonna get a third charter car. A lot of people around the sport kind of see that as a bluff from Childress trying to get Denny Hamlin to buy out Tyler Reddick's contract a year early.
There's also the fact that they've said Austin Hill coming to Cup is imminent. So give him this year, next year in the Xfinity Series, Tyler would get the third team started, and then they would move Austin Hill into the third car. That's the business side of things. That's probably what's going there. But I'm sure that Richard is not going to care if Denny's like, here's a couple tens of millions of dollars. Give me Tyler now. I don't think that's too crazy.
It's just crazy all around. As you mentioned, Kyle said there's no deal done yet, but KBM will be switching to Chevrolet for 2023. The TRD driver's going to have to find a different place. Either that, or they're going to have to get out of their contracts with Toyota and switch to Chevrolet, which can also happen.
Less likely option, but it could also happen.
That leads me to ask, who are you gonna get for the truck team? Are you gonna be one truck team? You're gonna be two? You gonna stick with three and then one part time for yourself and others? How's this gonna work?
I mean, you have to look at now. There's an opportunity. We've seen a bunch of Cup drivers go down and run Kyle's trucks in the past. Guest stars Kyle himself. That's happened. But typically they've been of the independent or the Toyota variety. Chevrolet has the most drivers in the field. So in the cup field. So if and when KBM switches to this, if they want that all-star truck, then you're looking at opportunities for, you know, I mean, obviously Austin Dillon, but guys like that. I mean, even the Hendrick kids, if they want to, although they have deals with Spire, but obviously they could work out a deal however you want to go about that. Going down and running truck races. It's entirely possible. And then
I could see a situation where you can get Corey LaJoy be a truck driver. I mean, I know that's not something that Corey would... It'd be tough for Corey to take a step back, but it'd be nice for him to have a competitive ride, if you get what I'm saying.
I mean, that's what John Hunter Nemechek did.
So I see people like Corey LaJoy in there. Maybe even Justin Allgaier, get a couple part-time rides there. You can help out. You can help out a lot of Chevrolet guys. You have Suarez. You have Chastain. Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman. You have all those guys you can pick from to have, you know, just give them.
And look at anyone at Junior Motorsports as well with a close tie to Arse. Look, Junior Motorsports has a close tie to Hendrick, but Dale Jr. has a very close tie to Richard Childress.
Yeah.
So he's not going to say no.
And I could see a place where Sam Mayer takes a step back, because – in my opinion, I don't think he was ready for the Xfinity level. He's done very well up there. I feel like he could benefit from taking a step back to the Truck Series, a year or two there, get his feet comfortable there, get some race wins. So, like, when Sam Mayer burst on the scene in the Truck Series, he won at Bristol. Like, I mean, I know that. It was a tough situation because Junior knew Michael Annett was retiring. He was putting Josh Berry full-time, and Sam Mayer was under contract for Chevrolet. He needed a seat, so Junior put him there. But now with Kyle Busch Motorsports switching to Chevrolet, this gives options to everybody.
Yeah, it'll move some needles. And it's going to set a domino effect, because obviously Kyle leaving the 18, leaving for the 8, opens the 18. We're 99% sure Ty Gibbs is going to be the driver of that car. The 8 displaces Tyler Reddick into a third RCR car that we don't know about. But then again, if Kurt Busch is truly injured and truly severely injured and truly done racing, then that means that Denny would have to decide between buying out a contract or finding a driver to race his second car for 1 year. This is a domino effect that's just going to go all over the place.
Yeah, and while we're on the subject, Noah Gregson's moving up to Petty GMS full-time next season. So Brandon Jones, obviously, you know, lesser news than Kyle Busch, because Brandon Jones is also leaving Joe Gibbs Racing for a Chevrolet team. He's going to take the 9 car in the Xfinity Series.
Yes, he is, and that's... So that means, throughout all of this, that is going to mean that in, as of right now, of 2023, Joe Gibbs has 0 Xfinity drivers under contract.
Yep.
And Jones is out for sure. Gibbs is very likely to go to the Cup Series.
So, I'd have only one full-time Joe Gibbs Racing entry in the Xfinity Series next year, and I could see John Hunter Nemechek being that driver.
It's probably going to be what... I think that's the smartest, easiest move right now, is just to move the TRD kids up a level to Xfinity all at once. I think that's probably the smartest way to go about it, but we'll see what Gibbs does.
Possibility that Joe Gibbs could open up a Truck Series team under his own umbrella.
It's true. Yeah. Didn't have to when you had KBM as a partner.
Yeah, but now you have to think about that. It really, I don't see it happening, but it could be a possibility to say, like, You got too many TRD drivers that are just young, inexperienced, and need some time. And just opens up a truck series team of, I don't know, two full-time trucks under his own umbrella. Keep guys like Chandler Smith and Corey Heim and Jesse Love around.
Yeah, so we'll see where that goes. So, some other news coming out. Kevin Harvick found the password to his Twitter account, apparently. Very happy about the North Wilkesboro news as the All-Star race. But also, he said one that I thought was very... One of these I retweeted, I thought it was very interesting. Guy said, so, Kevin, somebody said, Kevin says, fairly certain Scott McLaughlin would be pretty good in a stock car as well. Just a random racing thought on the day on Twitter. Kevin Harvick said, somebody says Kevin Harvick hasn't watched Scott in supercars. He'd say, I'd say you're wrong. Would you give him a chance in the Cup Series at the Charlotte Roval? Why not? Someone responded with, Marcus Ambrose makes an entire career in NASCAR after coming from supercars, so surely the transition today isn't impossible, especially considering modern Cup vehicles are much closer to the Aussie V8s from the old COTs and Gen 6s. Kevin makes a point that I don't think anyone has really said. If Marcus Ambrose had better cars, he'd still be racing Cup and have won double-digit races by now. And that is not something I've thought about, but I don't disagree.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if Scott McLaughlin coming over from IndyCar is for a one-off Project 91 type deal. Probably could do really well, but. I genuinely don't know how well he would do. That point aside, he makes a fair point about Marcus Ambrose, and that's high praise coming from a guy that's won 50 or 60 races in his career.
And yeah, I'm with you. I can't say I disagree. I feel like Marcus Ambrose was incredibly talented. We all know that. His races he won at Watkins Glen were just some great driving all around.
Mm-hmm. He robbed himself of a Sonoma win in a terrible car.
Yeah. But I'd love to see the resurgence of that. Say, imagine Marcus coming back. Imagine Juan Pablo Montoya coming back for a couple races. Ron Fellows. Or said,
this is why, this is why I thought Project 91 was such a smart idea. The results don't matter. You're getting the exposure for these guys, and all they have to do is try and run decent.
Yeah, and
we saw
what, in the end,
we saw what Kimi
Raikkonen. In the end, you could like, you know, obviously you want more exposure to NASCAR itself, but you're getting more exposure to all the motorsports. Because they're trying to, over the last couple of years, they've been trying to work more closely together in a way, especially NASCAR and IndyCar. They have the combo weekend at the road course, Indianapolis. It's been really fun to watch. As you mentioned when we had the show about that weekend, James Hinchcliffe on the Xfinity broadcast was amazing.
Yeah, he was.
There's a lot of guys in the IndyCar series I'd love to see get a shot at stock car racing. Scott Dixon being one. McLaughlin, I know, hasn't been around IndyCar that long, but he'd be a nice one.
But he's run supercars. He's run stock cars before.
Yeah. Joseph Newgarden would be really fun to see.
I think Newgarden could win races, to be honest.
I just want... hopefully one of these days we can get IndyCar to the Charlotte Roval.
Yeah, one day. Speaking of IndyCar drivers, bit of a segue here. Jimmy Johnson has said that he's still targeting a full-time IndyCar schedule for next year, but Carvana would back him no matter what he did, so he could literally go run all CV8 supercars if he wanted to. I think he sticks in IndyCar, but et cetera, et cetera. It doesn't really matter.
I just went back to stadium trucks.
I'd love that. But hold on. Think about this. All of the exceptions within the NASCAR All-Star Race, one of them is the 10-year winner's exemption. Jimmy Johnson last won the All-Star Race in 2013. That means he is still eligible for the 2023 All-Star Race. He could race at North Wilkesboro.
I feel like you're going to have some... You're going to have some classic drivers come out for that. Like, you could have people like Tony Stewart show up. You could have, I feel like Dale Jr. is going to try to run that race. If Jeff Gordon.
Let's truly make the open an open.
Yeah, Jeff Gordon could show up.
But like, put zero limits on. I would honestly love it if you nix the rules. Four-car team rules doesn't matter. Completely irrelevant. Who cares? Say Hendrick fields the 24 and the 88X. The 24X and the 88. Sorry, I had that backwards. Or Jeff Gordon and Dale Earnhardt Jr. Who cares? They're spec cars anyway. Let them do it. If you want to see these guys come out and just throw them in the open and see what happens. Like Jimmy Johnson in the 48A. I just want to see it. There's so much that could happen at that race, and I think literally NASCAR would just be very smart to just let it happen.
Yeah. As we get on to that, we'll get into, because as we record this about, say, 7 hours ago, 9 hours ago, whatever it was, NASCAR said Tuesday that they were going to release the Cup Series schedule, but they dropped a bombshell and just decided to release, which I'm fine with. And there's no...
Yeah, they just decided, screw it. Here, let's give everyone what they want.
And it's a great mixture. I love it. It's NASCAR's 75th anniversary season. It's a mixture of old and new. A three race stretch from May 14th to May 28th is going to be incredible. You have first Darlington race of the year on Mother's Day. And the next week, you go to North Wilkesboro for the All-Star race. Then May 28th, Coke 600. That's an incredible 3 week stretch right there.
Yeah, it's fantastic to see it.
And
finally.
Before we get into the schedule, before we break down the whole thing, just want to say, move on to the IndyCar news real quick. Congrats to Will Power for winning his second championship. It's been a long time coming. I know he only won one race this year, which, in a way, it was redemption for last season when he had an overheating issue at Belle Isle. He went out on the last race on Belle Isle, nonetheless, because they're moving to a Detroit street race next year in downtown. But that was his only win of the year. My, oh my, was this man consistent. He had 9 podiums on the season.
Yeah, 9 for 17 on finishing in the top 3. He did very well. Deserving champion. He is a deserving champion. Just glad to see it.
Keep in mind, this man is 41 years old now.
And I know that Joseph Newgarden wasn't happy. He got told... He got told no in qualifying due to a technicality. Ended up having to start back. But didn't really affect me. I think Will was going to win it anyway. He finished third in this race.
Yeah.
Whatever.
And
But as for the winner of the race, some other news for him.
Yeah. Alex Palou getting the win. Also, another thing that they mentioned during the broadcast, that Laguna Seca is being repaved. So we'll see how that runs next season. Alex Palou gets the win. Came out today that going to stay with Chip Ganassi Racing for next season, but also has in his contract now where he can test Formula One cars McLaren. So and Felix Rosenquist is going to stay at Arrow McLaren SP, be the teammate Alexander Rossi next season. I think that's a win for all, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's the good ending to that whole deal. That's the good ending.
Yeah.
Just glad to see it.
But besides all that, you know, obviously congrats to Will Power for getting the win. Max Verstappen continues his dominance of Formula One.
It's not even worth talking about. It's so dominant. But
it's been a long time coming from him, too. We knew from the day Max Verstappen stepped in a Red Bull car. What was it, 2016?
Yeah, winning on debut.
Yeah. From the moment he got in the car, he was going to be something to reckon with. And however you view...
He won you at 18 years old.
However you view last year, whether you think it was fair or not, this is the Max Verstappen that was coming years ago. And my oh my, yeah,
this is what we all knew was possible.
My oh my is this man on top of his game.
5 consecutive victories. He's on his 5th straight win. He has 11 wins on the season. That is the most that Lewis Hamilton has ever had in any season in his career.
And
Maxwell has races to go.
And the most wins ever in an F1 season was what, 13?
13. Schumacher did it.
And you have 6 races left in this year's Formula One campaign. Singapore, Japan, U.S., Mexico, Brazil, Abu Dhabi. This is the 6 races in that order.
You could easily break that record.
Yeah.
It's likely, honestly.
He's probably... Mathematically, he can clinch the championship next race out at Singapore on October 2nd. I don't think he'll do it that day. I could be wrong. But at the very least, I can see him winning it in Japan.
Yeah, I believe so.
We knew it was coming, but I think, you know, a couple tweaks here. You get the team back on track next year. Ferrari will be dangerous. I think
maybe they won't screw out of wins.
Yeah. And I expect Mercedes to be back in the mix. They were really bad standards at the start of the season, but they found the speed better half of this year. Like,
yeah, they'll do much better next year.
Yeah, so there's going to be a three-way constructors battle next year, I'm predicting.
Yep. All right, so that'll move us into the last thing we have to talk about this weekend. I feel like we've prepped most of the talk for Bristol. We'll give the winners after we break down the schedules. Firstly, the newly reminted NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series 2023 schedule. Very similar to what it's been, but the things of note. Saturday in North Wilkesboro, May the 20th. The trucks will be on the track, so that's really cool to see that. But, Joey, the other ad that the Truck Series has put in, their second race of the playoffs will now be at the Milwaukee Mile.
Yep.
And on a Sunday.
That part, scheduled that way because the day before is Daytona.
Correct.
Milwaukee, great racetrack. I'm really glad to see it back on a National Series schedule. It's the first time... Truck Series will be there since 2009, last guy to win a race there was Ron Hornaday Jr. in the midst of, I think that was like his third straight win that year.
But that was part of the five in a row.
Yeah. But we give a lot of flack to Ben Kennedy sometimes, but man, they hit it out of the park with these schedules. I'm so happy to see some things like this.
Honestly, my only qualm with the truck schedule is something that I've had a qualm with for quite some time now. Make it longer.
Yes.
Add races.
I think in the future, Ben probably wants to do that. But for right now, you know, you got to get back on track. You got to get these crews back in order because COVID season kind of screwed everything up a little bit. And
it made it harder.
Yeah, for us, we don't like the modified live pit stop thing. Okay, I can deal with it because the racing makes up for it most of the time. But I'm happy to see Milwaukee Mile back. Excited to see what tracks come back in the future. Because going back to Milwaukee can open up places, say, like, I don't know, you have a race at Hickory Motor Speedway. I feel like that could be a good place for the truck series. You could go to some of the SRX tracks, like Stafford. Or eventually get Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway back, too.
Yeah.
But that's the truck series schedule. It goes, their season starts at Daytona February 17th. Then it goes Las Vegas, Atlanta, Circuit of the Americas, Texas, Bristol Dirt, Martinsville, Kansas, Darlington, North Wilkesboro, Charlotte, Worldwide Technology Raceway, Gateway, Asheville Super Speedway, Mid-Ohio, Pocono, Richmond. Then their playoffs start. Lucas Oil Raceway is the first race of the playoffs again. Then Milwaukee Mile. Kansas is their cutoff race for the first round. Then it's Bristol, Talladega, Homestead, round two. And Championship 4 at Phoenix, November 3rd.
Yeah, did a much better job in the playoffs not having huge gaps of time between races. There is still one big gap between Talladega and Homestead, but the first round doesn't have a month break in it now. So, good on them for fixing that. Xfinity Series, their things of note. Joey, a return to Sonoma for the Xfinity Series, partnering up with Portland, so West Coast swing in early June, back-to-back road courses in Portland and Sonoma. They join the Cup Series on the Chicago streets. There's Saturday, July the 1st. But no real huge changes outside of that. But I thought the Xfinity calendar has been pretty good recently anyway. So I don't think that much change was needed. So good to see even with Cup not returning to Road America in 2023, Xfinity will still be there.
Yeah, I'm glad they kept it on the schedule for the Xfinity Series.
Been one of the best Xfinity races.
Has.
But nothing too crazy. Daytona Auto Club, Vegas, Phoenix, Atlanta, Coda, Richmond, Martinsville, Talladega, Dover, Darlington, Charlotte, Portland, Sonoma, Nashville, Chicago, Atlanta, New Hampshire, Pocono, Road America, Michigan, Indy Road Course, Watkins Glen, Daytona, Darlington, Kansas. Playoffs are Bristol, Texas, Charlotte, Vegas, Homestead, Martinsville, Championship 4 at Phoenix. So the playoffs will actually be set earlier in the calendar than they are this year. Bristol will be their opening playoff race instead of their last regular season race.
Yeah, and another minor change to the schedule is that the Xfinity Series and Truck Series, last couple of years, Xfinity Series has raced Talladega twice this year and last year. But next year, the spring race only again, while the trucks are returning to just the fall Talladega race, which, you know, that it goes back to pre-COVID era scheduling. They used to do that all the time, so it's nice to see that, you know. I think it's better for the Xfinity series to only go to Talladega once.
Yeah, I think it makes it a more of an event to do it that way. So moving on, Cup Series schedule. The Clash returns to the Coliseum. So second year of the Clash at the Coliseum, so that'll be fun to watch. The Martinsville Spring Race moves back to Sunday. We mentioned the North Wilkesboro All-Star and the Chicago Street Race. No return to Road America, as we mentioned. The playoffs will be Darlington, Kansas, Bristol, as it is this year. Texas, Talladega, Charlotte, Roval, Vegas, Homestead, Martinsville, and Phoenix to close out the year.
Yep, and of note, that second weekend of the season when the Xfinity and Cup are at Auto Club, that'll be the final time on the 2-mile layout of Auto Club Speedway.
Yep, that's the only other big thing. So that's all the huge news that came out over the weekend, and obviously putting this episode out a day earlier than usual because the races start a day earlier than usual. Thursday night truck racing at Bristol Motor Speedway.
The ARCA races before that, so.
Correct. Xfinity is on Friday, Cup is on Saturday.
And the Xfinity race, this year's finale is anything like last year's, boy, are we in for a show.
Yeah. But, Joey, you know, the only thing we have left is name our winner for the 2022 Bristol Night Race. I make you go first a lot, so I won't do that to you this time. Now that all the news is out there and it's not really a pressure anymore, Kyle Busch back to victory lane.
And I'm kind of in the same boat with you. I mentioned it earlier that I think this is the closer's time to shine. This is Kevin Harvick's redemption race for last year.
I personally hope so. But I believe that will do it for us. Closing out the season. First round will be over. Joey, we did this for the trucks last week, and the last thing we will talk about, what four drivers are getting eliminated?
Let me go back and look at it.
Because I'll tell you right now, with a Kyle Busch win, like I'm predicting, Harvick is not going to get enough points to get out of there. Briscoe probably not going to do well either. Austin Dillon, I don't think, will. But of the guys ahead of him, I think Cindric falls out. So the 2, 3, 14, and 4, I believe, are going to be eliminated at the end of this race.
Well, with mine, I have Kyle Busch doing enough to survive. I think it's going to be the 99, the 2, 3, and the 14 that miss out.
Well, we'll see how wrong we are after Saturday night.
See how wrong we are when Austin Cindric comes out and dominates.
You mean when Daniel Suarez leads 300 laps and dominates this race?
Yeah.
I mean, he looked really good on the dirt. No one thought that was going to happen.
We'll see.
Or do we get a third non-playoff winner?
Screw it. Corey LaJoie wins.
Keep your eyes on the 47. Ricky Stenhouse for the dub, baby. All right, so I believe that'll do it for us. For Joey Ellis, I've been Alan Moses. Robin Hammer, we'll catch you guys.
Hey, everybody.
Elvis has left the building. Thank you and good night.